بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. باب ما جاء في وفاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The most unfortunate thing for us about going through this book is that you have to reach this chapter. Because this was the greatest loss that the Ummah will ever experience. You can take all our money away. You can take everything we have. But when the Prophet ﷺ is taken away from us, there's no replacement. Everything in the world has a replacement. Do anything you want to us. But if we lose the Prophet ﷺ, we've lost everything. And so this is one of the biggest losses that occurred in the history of our Ummah. The day that the Prophet ﷺ moved on. In fact, in a hadith, you know, I don't remember the hadith exactly, so I just want to roughly quote it, but the Prophet ﷺ said that the person who loses two children in young age, they will be entered into Jannah. So somebody asked, what about one child? And so the Prophet ﷺ said, even the person who loses one child. Then they asked, well, what about somebody who loses no children? Will he be entered into Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ says, yes. Why? Because he lost me, and I'm the greatest of losses. So this is the loss that we're dealing with. And this is why it's so depressing when you get to this chapter, because, well, it's depressing in one way, because we don't have the Prophet ﷺ here, and we've learned so much about him. But it's incredible in another way, because we're soon to go to him, inshallah. And we were told by the Prophet ﷺ that we should meet with him at the well of Kawthar. And that's where, inshallah, all of the righteous people, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us in them, despite our inconsistencies, that's inshallah where the line of the righteous will begin to drink from the well of the Prophet ﷺ on that day. So on that day when there's hunger and thirst and we have no other hope, inshallah will be in the line of people to be handed drink from the hand of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is the chapter that comes in the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Babu ma ja'a fi wafati Rasulullah ﷺ. An Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu qala آخر نظرة نظرت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's such a different hadith than all the previous ones, because it was always رأيت رسول الله رأيت رسول الله رأيت رسول الله, and now it's آخر نظرة, the last vision that I had of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that I ever saw in this world. آخر نظرة نظرت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كشف الستار, the lifting of the curtains on the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know its name. It occurred on a Monday. When I saw ila wajhihi, and I saw the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ka'annahu warakatu al-mushaf. It was as if his face was the page of the Quran. This was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his final sickness, and he was going to die a few hours after that. When nasu خلف أبي بكر, the people were praying behind Abu Bakr. فكذا الناس أن يضربوا فأشار إلى الناس أن يثبتوا. So what happened was is that the Prophet ﷺ lifted the curtain. And the thing is that the Prophet ﷺ became sick several times in his life. And when he lifted the curtain, the people used to know that he's coming back to join them. And so they used to get excited because now the Prophet ﷺ had gotten better, and so he was going to come back and join them in prayer. But on this occasion, the Prophet ﷺ didn't join them. They saw him lift the curtain, and they became so excited that now the Prophet ﷺ is going to rejoin us. But on this occasion, the Prophet ﷺ didn't rejoin. Abu Bakr continued leading the prayer, and the Prophet ﷺ commanded them to stay where they were. So then, Abu Bakr was leading them in prayer. The Prophet ﷺ dropped the curtain. وَتُوُفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ آخِرُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ, and the Prophet ﷺ left this world at the end of that day. So this is one of the things about the Prophet ﷺ, that he passed away on a Monday. And it was the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Now the thing is about the death of the Prophet ﷺ is that there's no doubt, according to our ulama, that he passed away on a Monday. The problem is that, so there's two things that there's no doubt about. The first is that the Prophet ﷺ left this world on a Monday. And the second is that the 10th of Dhul Hijj, which was 3 or 4 months before the Prophet ﷺ passed away, was on a Friday. These two things are certain in our history. The last Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ occurred on a Friday, and his death, sallallahu alayhi wa occurred on a Monday. So the problem is that if you start counting Dhul Hajj and Muharram and Safar, and you start adding the dates up together, the dates don't work out. Meaning the 12th of Rabiul Awwal does not fall on a Monday, no matter how you calculate. If you get 29 days or 30 days or 30 days or 29 days, and no matter how you play with the numbers, the 12th of Rabiul Awwal does not fall on a Monday. So this is why there's a second group of ulama who have a different opinion and say, no, it wasn't the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, but it was definitely a Monday because there's no debate about it. So that's the first thing you should know. The second thing you should know is that the Prophet ﷺ was actually sick for about 12 to 14 days during his final illness. So originally, he was at the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. When he left the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, he went to the house of Maymuna. And at the house of Maymuna radiallahu anha, his illness began to increase. And when it got really bad, he then asked permission from all of his wives to remain at the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is where he passed away, and he died on a Monday, and it was before noon. Another hadith within this chapter, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو بالموت وعنده قدح فيهما. So I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم at the time of his death, and he had a cup near him which was full of water. يدخل يده, he would enter his hand in this cup. ثم يمسه, then he would wipe his face with the water. ثم يقول اللهم إني على munkirat al-maut. Oh Allah, help me with the difficulties of death. And Aisha radiallahu anha qalat la awtibu ahadan bihawni mautin. I never exempted anyone from the difficulties of death after ba'd alladhi ra'aytu min shiddati mauti Rasulullah. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to think that certain people will undergo difficulties at the time of death and certain people won't. So she thought it was a variable thing. But when she saw the difficulty that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent at the time of his expiring, she realized that there is no person that can be saved from the difficulties of death. And Aisha radiallahu anha, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت لما قبض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اختلفوا في دفنه. When the Prophet ﷺ passed away, there was a debate among the Sahaba as to where the Prophet ﷺ should be buried. فقال أبو بكر سمعت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا ما نسيته. I heard something from the Prophet ﷺ which I have not forgotten. This is what Abu Bakr says. قال ما قبض الله نبيا إلا في موضع الذي يحب أن يدفن فيه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take the soul of a prophet except in the place where he should be buried. So bury him in the place where his bed is. Meaning bury him, make his burial place the place where his bed where he passed away, which was in his bed. An Aisha radiallahu anha qalat. An Ibn Abbas and Aisha radiallahu anhuma anna Aba Bakr qabbala an-nabiyya ba'da ma mat. So when the Prophet actually passed away, Abu Bakr came into the room and he bent down and he kissed the Prophet on the forehead between the eyes. And if there is one person in the world who, you know, who lost on that day, it was Abu Bakr. I mean, the whole ummah lost, but Abu Bakr was so close to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whatever Allah has put in my heart, I put in the heart of Abu Bakr. And, you know, from day one, 23 years, every day of his life, Abu Bakr did everything for this deen. and it was through the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were times when this ummah needed things, and they needed wealth, or they needed something. Abu Bakr was the first to sacrifice. I mean, Umar radiallahu anhu himself says that I submitted to the iman of Abu Bakr the day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for some charity, and I brought half of everything in my house, and Abu Bakr brought everything. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, what have you left behind? He said, I left behind Allah and His Messenger. So imagine what's going through the heart of Abu Bakr and the mind of Abu Bakr on that particular day, radiallahu anhu. I mean, what a loss. Yet, the reality is that it's not a loss. It's actually one step closer, because this is a bus station. We are all at a bus station. Some of our buses leave earlier, and some of our buses leave later. The only thing is that you hope that you get on the bus that's going to take you to the right place on the Day of Judgment, inshallah, Jannah in the end. So, in a way, it's a loss that the Prophet ﷺ is no longer with us. But in a way, it's something to look forward to, because if you make the Prophet and Allah the central theme in your life, then inshallah, on that day, you'll be rejoined with Him, and we will be in Allah's Jannah, and we'll be playing like children. And that's the permanent abode. So no matter how great the loss, you still have to move on. And that's exactly what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did. He went and he kissed the Prophet on the forehead. He recognized that everything that meant anything to him had now left the world. And then he picked up and he moved on. And he guided his ummah through a very, very difficult time. We can never appreciate how difficult it must have been for the Prophet to have left the earth, and how the Sahaba must have reacted. You know, there's a narration, it's just a story, I'm not even sure if it's a hadith, but it's just so interesting that, you know, Bilal had a very, very special relationship with the Prophet ﷺ. After the Prophet ﷺ, when Bilal used to make the adhan, he used to make the adhan in front of the Prophet ﷺ. So while he would be doing the adhan, he would say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and he used to point to the Prophet ﷺ. And this is one of his characteristics of his adhan. So anyway, when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he couldn't take it. He could not take being in Medina. And so shortly thereafter, he left Medina because he just couldn't take his extreme love, and he just couldn't take staying there without the Prophet ﷺ not being in front of him all the time. And so on one occasion, he returned to Medina for something, and Hassan and Hussein asked him to call the Adhan. And so he didn't want to call the Adhan without the Prophet ﷺ there. But because he had been requested by such two noble people, he had no choice. So as he called the Adhan, when he reached the line of the Prophet ﷺ, he had the habit of pointing. And so he started pointing, but then he remembered that the Prophet ﷺ was no longer with them. And so, you know, he never returned to Medina after that. And so this is just, I mean, it's just such an incredible thing. We can't imagine the love. You know, I mean, you lose a little, you get a bad grade on a test and you feel like crying for a week, or you lose a little bit of money and it affects you so much that it just takes over your thought for such a long period of time. Imagine what the loss of the Prophet ﷺ must have been. I mean, even Omar is saying, no, he just, his eyes are just closed. Nobody can say the Prophet has left us. I will cut the legs of the person who says it next. And he's running around in a mad panic, explaining that there is no way and nobody can say that. He won't accept it, that the Prophet ﷺ has left this world.